that anyone was home inside the leonine skull.
Doc, I know you can hear me. Tell us how you feel.
Ryan had a little more success. At least Doc turned slowly in his direction.
He's in shock, Ryan. Maybe best to leave him a while.
Tomorrow's so devilish dangerous.
Doc's eyes still didn't budge from gazing at some invisible point in a limitless distance.
Wanna be sick?
Jack eased himself away from JB.
Damn, kid.
Don't call me. Oh, fuck it.
Should we open the door?
Ryan shook his head.
Nah, give it a while. I reckon all of us can deal with a rest for a few minutes.
Ryan touched the red walls, feeling the warmth that seeped through the heavy armor glass. He wondered where in the Deathlands they'd ended their jump, or if, in fact, they were in the Deathlands at all. After their last adventure, there was no longer the certainty that all of the gateways were within what had once been the continental United States. Perhaps the one in Russia had been unique, but they'd already seen some evidence, admittedly circumstantial, that there might even have been a gateway on one of the space stations that had circled the Earth before Dark Day and the end of civilization. It was a thought that nagged at Ryan Cotter, intriguing him with the possibilities, as did the thought of finding other cryonic centers, and maybe, just maybe, managing to thaw out more freezies.
Well, I guess it's time we made a move. Everyone ready?
Doc sat still, as though he hadn't heard Ryan's voice. Christy knelt at his side and touched his arm.
Doc?
He looked up then, squinting, as if he couldn't quite focus on her face.
What is it? Is that you, Emily, my dear?
No, it's Christy, Doc. It's time we were moving on out of here.
Why?
Get some food and drink. And a wash if we're lucky.
We are no longer... You know that our yesterdays are ever present. Tomorrow is another now. We cannot say when life will end, and no man can say how.
Doc smiled and nodded to himself.
Nice verse, Doc. Won't load no mags for us.
Nor butter any parsnips, will it, my dear brother Cyril?
Cyril? Who there?
His mind's gotten locked way back. He was like this when we first met him, back in Moxon. Best we can hope that it was just the third jump. Pushed him too hard. Should recover.
But we have to go.
JB was growing frustrated with the old man. His philosophy of life was that a man didn't show weakness, nor let down friends. In the Deathlands, that often came down to the same thing.
Get up, Doc.
Christy helped him as he got unwillingly to his feet.
Oh, very well, Emily. I shall be guided by you in this. Are we to take a promenade?
Sure. All of us together.
Christy nodded to Ryan.
I think we're ready as we'll ever be, lover.
Ryan glanced around, motioning for Jack to move over and help Doc on the other side. Then he reached for the handle on the chamber door. The heat outside the chamber was striking and oppressive.
Phew! Fire on the bayou. Feels like home. Good Louisiana, warm and wet.
Hot as the hobs of Hades. Don't rightly know what that means, but Uncle Tyus used to say it in summer back in Harmony. Ah.
Ryan led them into the anteroom that they'd come to expect. Most of these had been evacuated and bare, showing signs that there had been warning and some redoubts of the sudden conflict of 2001. But this particular room looked as though it had been abandoned about 10 minutes ago. The small square table held 4 hands of cards, and a shelf contained some mugs and a tattered book. There were posters on the walls, faded and torn, revealing their age. The friends paused and looked around. Only Doc showed no interest, head drooping on his breast, eyes dull. It looked as though he'd have slumped like a discarded puppet if Jack and Christy hadn't been supporting him. Ryan always felt a buzz of excitement at a moment like this. To find some sort of time capsule, undisturbed for a century, meant a thrill of glimpsing the lost past through this peephole. He looked first at the posters. One showed a Russian hammer and sickle, both dripping gobbets of blood, descending toward the skyscrapers of an American city. A young man stood legs apart, fists raised, ready to try to combat and deflect them. The caption beneath the picture was vaguely familiar to Ryan, who'd seen it before. Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Two of the other posters were what he knew used to be called pinups. One depicted a tall blonde sitting astride a huge black and chrome two-wheel wag. She wore a pair of thigh-length boots in dark green leather. Other than the boots, she wore only a bright smile. On the other wall was a life-size poster of a heavily muscled bronzed man, wearing a smile similar to the woman's. But he wasn't even wearing boots. The caption simply said, Stud Study X. Doc was near collapse, and Christy helped him to sit down at the table, where he immediately laid his head on his folded arms. Ryan looked at the table. On one corner was a pile of small change that looked as if it had gotten rained on. The metal had sprouted a mold.
They were playing poker when the siren sounded. Or the bells, or whatever it was that told them the Dark Knight was on its way.
Jack picked up one of the hands of cards.
Two pairs. Queens and falls.
This hand won't beat you, Jack. Pair of threes. Like I always say, there's some you lose, and there's some you draw.
JB flipped over the third hand of cards. Three sixes.
I win. Beat that, Ryan, if you can.
One by one, Ryan picked up the moist, rotting playing cards and turned them over.
Eight of clubs, ace of spades, eight of spades, ace of hearts.
Still not good enough. Come on, Ryan, turn it and see what you got.
I reckon it'll be good enough to beat you. Want to bet on it?
With what? Last time I had a fistful of Jack was so long ago I can't even remember.
Bet you first go at the next hot water we find. How's that?
You got it. Turn the card.
Ace of clubs. A full house. Aces on eights. I win, JB. I win.
Dead man's hand.
How's that, Doc?
Same hand Bill Hickok was holding when he was gunned down from behind. I saw him once, out in Deadwood. I was about 7 years of age. Didn't look like a hero to me. Blind as a bat. Though bats see fine in the night. Dark glasses. Held aces on eights when he was shot down. Mount Moriah Cemetery, if I recall it right.
Ryan sat down opposite the old man and tried to catch his eye.
Doc, you feeling better?
Dead man, Emily, my dear. Only alive in the dear days of the past.
Doc?
This time there was no reply. At a word from Ryan, Jack slipped back into the chamber and removed the corpse of little Zorro, tucking it out of sight behind a corner cupboard in the anteroom. It seemed best to do what could be done to ease Doc's mind. His seeing the dead puppy wasn't going to be a help, though Ryan was concerned that the body would rot too fast and start to smell in the humidity and heat. Christy and JB helped the old man to his feet again, receiving a puzzled smile for their efforts. They led him into the control room.
Don't know how all this still works. Must be damn well sealed to keep dry.
Doc was propped up at a desk, where he immediately fell deeply asleep. The others wandered around the large room, past the display boards, gauges and dials, the dancing arrows and whirling comp wheels. The thousands of lights, green, amber, red and blue, and coded displays of digital activity, suggested to Ryan that this might also be the control room for the entire redoubt, and linked to the deep-buried eternal nuke power source. The one-eyed man ran a finger along the top of one of the master consoles, wrinkling his forehead as he looked at the smear of green lichen on his skin. As JB had said, it was astounding that everything seemed to be working as well as it was.
Dump all the coats here.
From the icebox into the frying pan.
Christy dropped her fur coat. After some consideration, Ryan shrugged off his beloved fur-collared coat and discarded the silk scarf with its weighted ends, which left him in a brown shirt and gray pants. JB was dressed identically. Christy had on her brown overalls and chisel-toe western boots. Jack wore gray pants and his ragged vest, made from different colored strips of canvas and leather. Fragments of razored steel had been sewn into it. Doc kept on his frock coat and knee breeches. All of them retained their assorted blasters and steels. The main doors that would open into the rest of the military complex operated on the same code as all the others. But this time they worked with an impressive silent efficiency as the hugely thick door slid upward. Leaving Doc slumped in his chair, the others ringed the entrance, blasters cocked and ready. Though it had been warm enough before, the wave of air that batted them through the open doorway was positively tropical in its heat and humidity.
Whew! Fucking triple hotter than home.
Ryan, where do you think we are? Inside a volcano that's ready to blow?
How about Hawaii? Could have jumped the Pacific.
Let's move real careful, people. We can find out where we are once we get out into the open.
The air felt slippery, instantly bathing all of them in sweat.
Oh, Gaia! That little bastard bit sharp!
Christy showed the others the smear of blood just above the wrist and the pulped corpse of an iridescent insect. It was more than an inch long, with wings of veiled lace.
Better get Doc out and close the sectors again. Don't want to open it up to any muty creature out here. Jack, help Doc. JB, throw the lock.
Right.
The sector slid softly into place, making the gateway section of the complex secure against intruders of any sort. The corridor was much like those they'd encountered in other redoubts. The arched ceiling with concealed lighting was 12 feet high and about 15 feet wide. As they began to follow a slight rise, their boots slithered through the green mold that coated floor, walls, and ceiling. There were no side passages and no entrances to the main corridor. Twice they walked beneath SEC cameras. At one time, the video equipment would have been in motion, constantly swinging up and down and from left to right. Now the cameras